Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the show. We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My guest is Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department.
You've been in your job now for a few months, so it's probably longer than that. But give me a sense, how's the transition been? You're coming from the private sector. I think this is your first foray into government, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and I want to thank you for having me today. DHS is a wonderful place, a great mission, great people, a lot of work, and a very, very urgent and difficult problem we have to solve.
Well, you're jumping into cybersecurity, which, as we all know, as you well know from your experience in the private sector, that's not an easy place to be. So let's talk about priorities. Let's jump right in. As the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity, what are you working on? What's at the top of your list?
My top priority is building trust with our stakeholders. So that's private sector, that's federal government, the civilian side, and state and local. Looking really at how we build those partnerships, how we engage trust with those that share information with us so that we can help fulfill our mission, which is a response and mitigation to cyber attacks. Looking at how we engage our different stakeholder sets to understand what we do, even at a deeper level with agreements, so it's called a CRADA, a research agreement, so that we can go deeper and do science. And above all, what we do best is enable the privacy and civil liberties through everything that we do, everything that we build. We enjoy the fact that we can show the public exactly what we do, what we look at, and how we do it.
So building trust, that's tough. Now, I know from covering this for several years now, DHS has had a pretty good relationship with the industry, though I would say that there's always some challenges. Talk about that trust building. How do you do that? What are some of the steps you hope to take?
So I have seen and built successful partnerships with big teams. I also come from, as you mentioned, the private sector. We have to engage the concept in the private sector that we all are in this together, that we will handle their information and their work with care, that we have the ability and the talent and the capability internally. For example, our NCIC, our National Cyber Coordination Integration Center. I look at that, we'll jump to another priority. Another top priority is our voluntary program. So enabling the cybersecurity framework from Executive Order 13636 to be a living, breathing organism that continues to grow. We'll be launching what we call the voluntary program on 14 February, enabling companies of all sizes to follow some basic cybersecurity policies and due care that have been designed through the framework by the best scientists from the private sector and government that we have. Looking at how we can incentivize companies, again, of all sizes, to be more secure, to enable big companies to share their best practices, to drive markets for small to medium, to enable economies of scale for companies that are smaller and might not be able to afford good cybersecurity, to now have very good cybersecurity, to have a cybersecurity policy. When I say adopt the framework, that's to voluntarily either improve your cybersecurity posture, follow some of the recommendations, engage in our website portal, even if it's just to look at a critical infrastructure resilience review. No need to report to us, but we want companies of all sizes, federal government and state and local, to be more secure. And we are committed to doing everything we can to get that framework adopted. And that means helping companies not only adopt policy, but drive markets to make good technology. And all that comes back to a DHS core tenet, trust, privacy, and civil liberties, where through the programs that we build, which is another of my top priorities, looking at how we can engage not only our perimeter defense, but our network defense. So you've heard of programs like Einstein at the Perimeter, Enhanced Cybersecurity, which is perimeter security with classified information, protecting critical infrastructure and private sector, and then continuous diagnostics and mitigation, which is an ongoing measurement of network security, which should replace the 50-pound binder that could be a doorstop. So again, the priority is looking based in trust, what DHS knows, sees, and collects with full privacy and civil liberties adherence, how we roll that into our programs, how protecting government makes us smarter to help us protect critical infrastructure. We create an ecosystem, and all that goes back to the trust of our stakeholders. We are the lead civilian agency with this mission, and we will be building that common operating picture for cybersecurity for all.
Thank you for giving us a little heads up on that February 14th launch of the voluntary program. When you first started talking about it, the first thing that came to my mind was kind of the DHS took over the what they used to call the Defense Industrial Base Program, the DIB. But this is obviously something very separate than that.
Yes.
This is related exactly, as you said, to the executive order from February of 13 now. Talk a little bit more about the voluntary program. It seems like there's three different pieces to it. Can you go through it again a little bit more in detail?
One of the things that the executive order asks government to do is it tasks NIST and DHS with working with the private sector to create a cybersecurity framework. And now that that has completed, DHS has the responsibility of rolling out a voluntary program in which entities, again, of all sizes would adopt those practices. And by adoption, we mean participation. This is not regulation. We actually want this to drive the security market to help create and help companies innovate and make money, which they love to do, by creating ways to make products and services affordable for companies that probably can't afford it now, for companies that might not even consider security now. I know from my previous life in private sector that you'll find in state and local that they know they have a lot to protect. They have our data, they run infrastructure, and very often they just can't afford good security, and they know it, and that's a terrible position to be in. On the flip side, on the small to medium businesses, many don't even realize that they have intellectual property, personal information, customer information that they have to protect. So what we want to do is make that affordable across, because all of those not only protect information, but they are suppliers and consumers of the larger companies. And as part of the cyber ecosystem, any one part that's not secure endangers all of us. What I would like to see with the teams is to have wide mass adoption of the voluntary program. Just as we did with the flu, taught people to wash their hands better, we would like you to protect your networks more carefully so that we actually make cyber attacks harder for the adversary. And that does two things. It makes us safer, of course. It makes us more resilient. We do cybersecurity, and this is very important to us at DHS. We do cybersecurity for infrastructure resilience to make our way of life safer. But the second thing we want to make sure that we cover is by removing some of the noise, the common attacks, and simply having better practices, we free up the best minds in the world in security to hunt for the worst adversaries. And those two things together will make us more resilient because we make it less opportunistic.
All right, so that was a fascinating kind of analogy with the flu. And I think it's key as well to ensure people understand this is not regulation. I know that was it's a big hiccup in Congress, between Congress and the administration over where to go with legislation. What are the ways that the people can volunteer? You said they could at least come to the site and see what's going on. Is this the type of thing where you have to sign up? Is it just you could go to a website? Do you have a sense of how that's going to work yet?
Absolutely. We'll have a portal resource both on the U.S. CERT site and off the DHS main page. We'll also be making available critical infrastructure resilience reviews, so a form you can download and determine on your own how secure you are from a critical infrastructure perspective with cyber as the nexus. Again, you don't have to sign up. This is not regulation. We don't even have to know that you participated. We want you to participate because it makes you and our country and our global fabric safer. If you want to tell us you participated, great. You don't have to. But what we're hoping this will drive is when you learn how secure you are or not, when you improve on a security policy or in some cases create one, when you make better practices for cybersecurity internally, you end up taking that to the boardroom as an entity, and that raises the level of cybersecurity consideration. What we're also trying to be very cognizant of is that while these are all good things, companies can't just do something because it's good. So we want to make sure that we have incentives. The White House has mentioned a number of incentives ranging from cyber insurance to tax incentives to grants for which you can apply. We're also working very hard at DHS and should hopefully have some announcements in the next few weeks on other things that we can offer to companies to make you more secure in conjunction with, again, following some simple policies. It could be as easy as improving your security policy, participating in the program. But there is absolutely no obligation to tell us. There's no regulation. And this is very important to me, coming from the private sector, enabling the best minds in our community, many of which are in private sector, to drive ways to innovate. Go make money, go build business, and build a business around making us all safer.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity in the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department.
One of the things you also talked about was how everyone's interconnected because everyone's on the web, whether you're a small business or a large business, whether you're a state and local government or federal government, everyone is connected through that common internet. So if one person is insecure, really it's the weakest link in the chain makes the entire chain insecure. Is that the, in part, as you commented, the end goal that what DHS is really pushing toward? Let's all be more secure together versus here's a new approach to security, because there's plenty of approaches to security.
I think you're right on both. Let's all be more secure together is a great way to say it, and for two reasons. One is when people exercise better cybersecurity en masse, there is more data, actuarial data, to push incentives like insurance programs. And there are also more of what I'll call cyber indicators. And at a high level, that's as if you imagine when internet traffic moves, it has a destination and origination and some information to help it travel. We're suggesting some protocols that DHS has already built that some sectors have actually started to adopt that will send information about the security of the traffic that it's carrying so that when it arrives, your computer may know whether or not to use it. And this is what can help our NCIC, our National Cyber Coordination and Integration Center, help mitigate through that common operating picture of cyber, receiving a lot of these indicators at the speed that machine traffic travels can actually help identify where botnets are by certain patterns. This is the science that private sector already uses. Combined with government data, this is the science that can actually take response from hours to minutes.
How will this volunteer program kind of mesh with some of the work you guys are doing? I mentioned the Defense Industrial Base Program. I know it's called something else now. The NCIC work you guys are doing where you have critical infrastructure members on the floor of the NCIC. Can you talk a little bit about how that all kind of comes together? Because we are talking about two separate things here. We're talking about one's a volunteer program and one's a different kind of volunteer program where somebody like a company is saying, I want to participate with DHS. How do you bring all that together from where you sit at the maybe 50,000 foot view?
I'd like to say all of our programs are volunteer. We do provide programs to the federal agencies, which again, I think are through FISMA, are supposed to be using those as we can roll them out. And we do get data and learn from protecting those. That's part of our core value because that's data that no one else but DHS would see. And when we protect the private sector, part of what we understand as good and bad comes from what we see across government. So that goes to why do we want so many people participating in the ecosystem of protection and sharing information? That goes to why. So the DIB, as you referenced, or the former Defense Industrial Base, the Enhanced Cybersecurity Program, the ECS, is the ability to roll out that same kind of service with the effect of protecting using some classified information to others beyond that original DIB set. So it's taking the technology that was developed for a pilot and extending it because it worked well to others in the critical infrastructure community and providing that as a service.
Can you talk a little bit about the ECS program? Is it gaining some traction? I know from stories I've written and followed and seen people speak at the ISPAB meeting, one of your old haunts, so to speak, there's been some concern. It's been a bit of an uphill trek for a lot of people to really get into the ECS program. How's it going so far?
This is a great question. As someone who used to write computer code and enjoyed it, nothing in technology is easily built. We like to make it easily used. We are over the hump of the building part. We're looking at the equations of how do you create the atmosphere where it's you can handle that kind of information appropriately according to law. But certainly rolling that out for companies is in full swing. We have many, I'll call them stakeholders online at this point. Looking toward the future, I can't emphasize enough how much value there is in the unclassified data that's in the private sector that's yet untapped. And that's part of the reason that the information sharing is so important and the trust is so important. When you combine that with our ability that we have now to also use classified countermeasures, that's a very powerful weapon that we have against those that want to do us harm. And it's also a great way to make everybody more secure so that, again, your best minds can be used to hunt for the very, very harmful attacks that, no, we don't have technology yet to fight.
As companies are volunteering or they're setting themselves up with the ECS program, are you finding that there's some barriers that still exist or some things that maybe you are saying now, okay, now that we have these 10 companies, 40 companies, whatever the number is, here is the next thing we need to do to make this even better. Where do you see it going, I guess, is maybe the more direct question.
So I see a lot of science, and that may be because that's my background. But ECS is offered through service providers. So signing up is ordering a service if you're the company. The hard work is done by DHS and the providers to make that possible. And we think that's a good thing. The science forward is, again, how do we tap that wealth of knowledge that's in the private sector to create an even better weather radar map and our NCIC. We have a great one now. Our vision is to make it even better through that combined understanding of what we're seeing on the federal networks, leveraging our partnerships and figuring out how to learn even more about what the private sector can tell us, again, with our privacy experts in that every step of the way and being very transparent with everybody out there saying this is our goal, this is exactly what we plan to do, this is what it looks like, but creating systems that self-mitigate and self-heal. Just like your body fights a cold, your body doesn't have a meeting to fight a cold. It sees something bad and it attacks it. And what we want to do electronically is what your body does biologically, create that ecosystem, that immune system, but we can take that one step further. We can not only fight the attack, we can warn everybody else about it in milliseconds. So when you ask the vision, that is the vision. Hours to milliseconds to self-mitigation, making it so that it's very clear, more clear to see the very, very harmful attacks that admittedly no one can yet fight.
You mentioned several times the NCIC. It's, I think, one of the big success stories for DHS over the last 2, 3, 5 years. Where do you see that going over the next 6 or 12 months? Obviously, the expansion between the volunteer program is probably going to play some kind of role. I imagine it's also going to continue to play a role with both the classified and unclassified information sharing programs. What's the next step for it? How do you continue to expand it?
So I want to be very clear. The NCIC and the voluntary program may or may not be so related. The voluntary program is about DHS using our relationships and building trust to really engage the American public and entities, small to large, in following better cyber practices. And to the extent that we can offer anything we can to engage that, we are exploring those avenues. The NCIC is our watch floor, our operations center, our coordination center, our weather radar map, if you will, and our common operating picture for cybersecurity globally. And we see that growing, you know, under the amazing leadership of Larry Zelvin. We see that growing to not only support more partnerships and more information. I'd like to see it focus more on some of our analytics, what we can do with the combined information that we get, again, from government and private sector, and how we can warn faster, using machine speed to warn. The adversaries attacked us at machine speed. Something comes in at milliseconds. That's all the time you have to detect and stop it and mitigate it. Otherwise, we send a flyaway team out after the fact for you. What we'd like to do is have that data available to you in indicator form through that automated way that we've developed so that data about the security of traffic travels with the traffic. And then the NCIC, by its existence of providing the data, helps fuel those indicators.
Is that happening now to some extent? Are you seeing the ability to give real-time or near real-time data to NCIC, people who participate in the NCIC, whether it's a critical infrastructure or other federal agencies?
So I want to define participate in the NCIC. The NCIC has seats on the floor for other agencies such as FBI. We have our own Secret Service in there. We have seats for other government agencies as well as private sector partners. The ecosystem I describe of seeing something out there because you're traffic or you're a product protecting something and adding to the overall awareness, that exists today in the private sector. Many companies have developed systems that follow an ecosystem type. That exists, that capability exists today and is growing in the NCIC. What we have to do is tie it together. What we know, what the private sector knows, to create that common operating picture, to understand what is the exact metric by which we measure success. What are the metrics that determine the value of a classified countermeasure and the cost of delivering and caring for that classified information, which is rather high? What are the metrics around the value of that versus the open source information? And how do we balance the use of those? How do we have the right information at the right place at the right time to do electronically what nature does biologically and stop something that has arrived to hurt you.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right. But did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department.
I'm going to switch gears on you for a second. We talked about DHS's role in terms of helping to secure federal networks has grown immensely. The current big project is the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. Start with the status of that, and then let's talk about Einstein a little bit, please, as well.
So Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, just taking a step back, is a concept that turns every network where it's applied into its own ecosystem. As traffic flows through that network, the different components that see the traffic and send it to its next place can make a determination of the harm or lack of harm in that traffic. So you've created an organism so that it always knows how healthy it is. You don't have to write a book about it every year and claim how healthy it is. It constantly knows. And this helps you because when it's not healthy, you see it and you fix it. The other beauty of many agencies running CDM, which is the goal soon, is that they can, if they choose to, share information with each other about what they see. And they can, again, if they choose to, share that back with the NCIC. And this is all, again, is based on trust, even at the federal level. Trust in our capabilities, trust in that the view is worth the climb, in sharing information back with us to make everybody more secure, and then enabling that information to be used in a civil liberties and privacy promoting way to protect everybody else. So the future of CDM is to extend that model, hopefully one day into the private sector, to look at how that could be offered as a cloud service potentially. How do you take these models from an ecosystem concept that was developed probably over 2 years ago at DHS? We are realizing that today. The other programs on the Einstein side, on the perimeter defense, those are alive and well. Those are also feeding us data and protecting federal agencies. And then, of course, again, just to clarify that, enhanced cybersecurity is perimeter defense with a classified countermeasure for private sector that comes through a service provider. And all three of those, where it's legal, so where it's protecting government, share information back with us. And where it's protecting private sector, they are protected by that information from the government, as well as what we can get from private sector through relationships and perhaps through acquisition.
With regards to CDM, give me a sense of the end goal, what we're looking at. Obviously, it's near or real-time data, understanding the health of networks. But where really is this heading over the next, you know, year or two or more?
Changing the culture from compliance to actual security. So now you have a network that's able to monitor its own security to some degree. You always know when certain patches have been set, when certain threats are present. So you can take your minds of your CISOs and have them focused instead of constantly worried about compliance and writing documents, actually have them look at the science of what might be threatening that network, be able to have time to share and build relationships with other federal CIOs and CISOs, and create a human and a machine network that is a much better barrier for a witted adversary.
There's been a lot of themes during our conversation, and it's been enjoyable because the themes all kind of tack back. You talked about science several times. You're talking about being innovative and really thinking more technically in many ways about how to solve the problem. The self-healing networks you talked about. From your perspective of as the Deputy Undersecretary over at Homeland Security for Cybersecurity, what's your big vision? Where do you want to see during your tenure here at DHS cybersecurity go within the federal government and, of course, obviously within the private sector? And those two obviously have some paths that are similar and some divergent paths as well.
So thank you for the opportunity to address that. I want to take the opportunity to also explain I am also over communications, so our Office of Emergency Communications. We can't forget that because when you talk about cybersecurity, we are here to protect infrastructure resilience. Right? We are here not to run after viruses and worms. We're here to make sure that the systems that promote our way of life are duly protected, given that many of them, if not most of them, are electronically enabled and connected. And emergency communications is key to our ability to respond and to mitigate. If you can't communicate, then you can't work. So I want to make it very clear that is part of our overall vision. You know, going forward, looking at cybersecurity again as a key part of infrastructure resilience is part of our vision. It drives our vision. Enabling our top minds to focus on the top threats. This is all about keeping our way of life and making us safer. And expressing it simply so that we can get everybody engaged in understanding it. Engaging the policy community, the national security staff as we do, the legislative community. All getting on the same vision, which looks at how do we make it less appetizing for those that want to harm us to do so. I use bank robbery as an example. It still happens, but it's not a very appealing profession. Cyber tends to be very easy because the systems we built them fast, and we didn't protect them as we built them. And now we're faced with challenges of how to gather an understanding, a scientific understanding, and go back and make sure that at every step of the way, it's not fun for an adversary to go there. And that means looking at how we work together. That's first and foremost people. How do we build the trust so that when something happens and someone's attacked or someone's breached or we learn something new, that we can, if you will, immunize everybody's knowledge to that? And then how do we teach the machines? Because the greatest weapon we have is the one that the adversaries are using. They're using machines. They're using millisecond and gig speed. How do we use that to teach machines simply not to accept the traffic? DHS presents a core capability as the lead civilian agency with this capability to respond to mitigate cyber attacks for infrastructure resilience, to work side by side with the Secret Service and other law enforcement partners with the FBI, to engage our private sector and federal government, state, local, territorial, and tribal stakeholders to ensure that we not only educate them, but provide them with things that make them safer. Even if they think they can't afford it, we have to help them. And first and foremost, engage that trust, privacy, and civil liberties that are going to enable our ability to have that set of indicators that are going to stop an adversary from a target.
Dr. Phyllis Schneck, thank you so much for taking the time to talking to me. You have your plate is full, so I'm sure we will check in with you again in the near future.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest was Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Homeland Security Department. You can listen to this interview and all my Ask the CIO interviews on federalnewsradio.com/askthecio.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.